It's pharmaceutical drugs and more. Order yours today, 888-440-8150, 888-440-8150, or waterwithangie.com, and it tastes delicious.
A major mistake last night during the Academy Awards presentation, and no, I'm not talking about all the hate against Donald Trump. Chris Barnes has the story.
There's a mistake.
The company that handles balloting for the Oscars apologizing after La La Land was accidentally announced as Best Picture at last night's awards ceremony instead of the real winner, Moonlight.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
PricewaterhouseCoopers saying the presenters were handed the wrong envelope, but it's still not clear how that could have happened. I'm Chris Barnes.
It reports that several Jewish community centers in New York and New Jersey are among those targeted with bomb threats nationwide today, forcing evacuations. NBC4 New York reporting the NYPD swept all three Jewish community centers on Staten Island after someone called in a bomb threat just before 10 a.m. On Long Island, Nassau County Police say the JCC in Plainview was evacuated, and authorities also say a Tarrytown facility in Westchester County received a bomb threat. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Arrests have been made in connection with a murder near Rutgers University. Here's the story.
This New Brunswick trio allegedly robbed and then stabbed 29-year-old Enrique Perez Galindo to death just before 3 a.m. Saturday morning. Happened in the driveway of an apartment complex on Hamilton Street in New Brunswick, right off campus. And then Rutgers officials alerted students to take precaution while walking around. And soon after, Jose Rivera, Xavier Peral, and Manuel Maldonado were arrested. Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
Amazon.com is being asked to no longer carry books that deny the evidence of the Holocaust. Mark Mayfield has the story.
Israel's Holocaust Memorial Museum is asking Amazon to stop selling books that deny the Holocaust. Yad Vashem's director of libraries made that appeal in a letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Library director Robert Rosette notes a recent increase in anti-Semitic threats and violence in urging Bezos to remove books that, quote, deny, distort, and trivialize the Holocaust. Rosette offered Yad Vashem's help in identifying books that encouraged the denial of the murder of 6 million European Jews in the years leading up to and during World War II.
The cop involved in the shooting death of Philando Castile due in a Minnesota courtroom today. St. Anthony Police Officer Geronimo Yanez is expected to plead not guilty to manslaughter and firearm charges. The July shooting occurred during a traffic stop. Castile's girlfriend, who'd been in the car with him, streamed the aftermath of the incident on Facebook Live. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Weather this afternoon, cloudy with a high near 53, southwest wind around 11 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 35. Southwest wind around 6 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday, a chance of showers after 10 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 62. Calm wind, becoming south 5 to 7 miles in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tuesday night, showers likely mainly after 10 p.m. Areas of fog after 1 a.m., otherwise cloudy, with a low around 51. Southwest wind 6 to 8 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 60%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Wednesday, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible after 10 a.m. Areas of fog before 10 a.m. Otherwise cloudy with a high near 74. Southwest wind 8 to 17 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses, use our own phones, that sort of thing. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or someone they know or someone they work with who has a mental health issue or the person themselves who have a mental health issue. Just about everybody that is in NAMI in Hunterdon County either has someone in their family who has a mental health issue or they themselves have a mental health issue and are living through it, or they just want to help. And you know, a percentage of the people that just want to help. And what we do is we help by, we teach classes called, well, one of the classes we do is called a 12-week course. It's called Family to Family. And we help family members who have someone in their family who have a mental illness. And we try to do it by telling them what to do, what not to do in certain situations, what to say, what not to say. We cover medications, side effects, etc. And we also have what they call a basics course, which is for families who have children. And you'd be surprised how many children have a mental health issue. And we're talking 17 and under. We run support groups. Once a month, we have a support group for families to come and talk. And everything is confidential, quiet, you know. And we try to help people because some of us have been through it already and some are going through it. So we toss out little ideas that we may have to help someone. If you need or you want a question or you have questions you'd like to ask, you can reach out to us at 908-284-5000. That's 908-284-5000. Today, we're very pleased to have with us Diane Simovich as our guest. And Diane is the founder of BW Nice, which I know it stands for something else, but I like to think of it as beautiful women. But yeah, it's a unique business, women's networking group that started right here in Hunterdon County. And Beautiful Women Nice, has, BW Nice, has several chapters throughout the tri-state area and is working toward becoming a national organization. Diane, welcome. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, Larry and Tracy. Appreciate it.
Great. I'm going to continue a little bit more in our description, then we'll get right into the questions. Diane, from what I understand, each chapter supports a local women's shelter and raises money and awareness of domestic violence and sexual assault through special events, including the Red Shoe Luncheon and Fashion Show. And the group's mission is women helping women through business networking, education, and charity. It's all about empowerment on many levels. Diane, can you tell us how many chapters you have now and how the group got started here?
Sure. We have 11 now, and some are still in development stage, but we've got 11 here in New Jersey. I'm hoping to be in every county in the state, and also 3 in Pennsylvania. So this is where we're sort of making our mark, and then we'll take it further. But how it started, actually, I was co-founder of this model when I lived in California for 25 years. I'm originally from northern New Jersey, Bergen County.
Whereabouts in Bergen County, if I can interrupt?
Park Ridge.
Okay. I graduated from Teaneck High along with my wife.
Yes,
she was born and raised in Teaneck.
Oh,
and,
you know, great.
My family moved from Brooklyn to Teaneck. So.
Right. So I ended up going out with my family to California and when I was in college and stayed there. My family was out there for a long time. And it was in my corporate days that I kind of came up with an idea about bringing women together. I was involved in women's initiatives. Women were key decision makers. I was in the health insurance industry, so everybody, we wanted to target women because we knew they were the decision makers for, you know, for healthcare and doctors and things like that. So just came up with a concept of bringing women together for networking, but also for tying to a local charity, more of on a grassroots level. So that's really how it started. So we created it, launched it some 14 years ago, and it was so successful out there that when I ended up moving back to New Jersey, coming back to my roots because of a number of life events that I went through, the board said, if you do nothing else, you need to start this back east because this is just too good. This is a great thing. So I did. It took me a couple of years, but as you know, Tracy, we launched, I think, in April of 2009, and things have taken off since then. And we started here in Hunterdon County with our first chapter and started as a 501c3 nonprofit.
So. You know, I would love to hear the story of your first meeting in Beaverbrook. I know you said you told your own personal story and you managed to get a handful of women together. How many?
Yes, and I have to thank, and I'm going to do a shout out if you don't mind, to Joe Dispenza, who is a financial planner. He's a friend of mine. I consider him a mentor too. He lives in Highbridge in the town that I live in. And I was working with him at the time and shared my vision because I thought about it every single day since the day I moved back here. How was I going to get this off the ground? And he loved my idea. He loved the vision and said, he offered to help me. So we ended up with 51 women attending the meeting at Beaverbrook. And I didn't know anybody. I had my mother come because I said, you need to be here to support me, please. I was new to Hunterdon County. I've been here 9 years now. And basically, we had 51 women attend. I shared the vision and the story of what I wanted to do with this bringing networking and the charity component together. And I shared some of my own story, my own journey, and trials and tribulations and challenges and things that I had been through. And the women really embraced it. And there was nothing like that. There really is no other business model like ours. So through my story, it sort of resonated with other women. And from that point on, we took off from there.
And you told me after that meeting, and almost every time you speak, there are always women who come up to you quietly at the end and tell you their stories. And it seems as though it really touches so many people.
It does, Tracy. And yes, I can tell you since we launched back in 2009, I've had so many women come up to me and say, thank you for sharing. I too have a story. And I quite honestly didn't share everything at that time, but I will tell you now I have shared. I am a survivor. I call it a survivor. I was a victim of domestic violence back in my late 20s in a relationship. And I was very lucky to be able to get out and had a good support system at the time. Obviously it does touch you inside, and it's something that's always been there. And I wanted to be able to share that story and offer other women hope. And again, sharing is empowering. So I've had so many women come forward, and you would never know it, who said, I too was a victim or too been through the situation. And they're on their feet, and that's really what it's about. We're there to help and empower and share.
Do you work in conjunction with, Safe in Hunterdon?
Yes. Each of our chapters, part of our mission, and specifically in our 501c3 is that each chapter will support a local domestic violence agency, raising awareness and support. The word really needs to get out. So here in Hunterdon County, where we first started, we support Safe in Hunterdon.
Right.
And other chapters such as Somerset County support Safe and Sound. Our Warren County chapter supports DASAC. So, yes, we are aligned with the local domestic violence agencies or an affiliated agency that helps to serve the community in similar fashion.
And is domestic violence, is it on the rise? Is it an occasional occurrence? Or is it more so than what the public realizes?
It is more so than what the public realizes. And what I have also learned in this journey, because during my situation, my personal situation, I didn't know it was domestic violence. I'm talking about the late 1980s. It wasn't, mm-hmm. that term wasn't even used. People still are not aware what domestic violence entails. And, you know, we always hear about the physical. And there's verbal, but there's emotional abuse,
exactly.
There's financial abuse, there's many different components. And it's great because our agencies are coming to our meetings and educating our attendees and our members about this. I mean, I've had people come up to me and not meaning anything in a bad way, but will say, oh, we don't have that in our community. We're a well-to-do or, you know, affluent community.
Yeah.
And it impacts every community. There is no socioeconomic, you know, there's no stereotype to this. It affects all of us and all of our communities. Is it on the rise? I will say this. The problem is the statistics are still the statistics, and that's not going down. So you really want to break the cycle, and that's where the education process comes in, and educating at a younger age so that you can break the cycle. But until we do that and get through that, you're still going to see these statistics. 1 in 4 women will be a victim of domestic violence in their lifetime. That's staggering. That's staggering.
Right.
And as I said, I see it all the time. I hear it, you know, and you know, women coming forward or somebody sharing a story. It certainly happens to men as well. We want to help everybody and support everybody, but it seems to be more of a woman's issue. Right. And
does happen to men also.
Yes, it does. And yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, our support goes out to anyone that's a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault.
Do you find that some of your clients or victims or whatever you want to call it or however you address it, they feel like they deserve this abuse because, you know, maybe it's the way they were brought up?
Well, when you're in a relationship with somebody you love or think you love and they love you, you know, it's very difficult to just to walk away or get out of it in many instances.
Right.
And I know that's one of the issues, but I think there's probably many different levels. I think that's a complex question because at the time that you're in it, you may feel that. You know, we've learned again through the agencies and the support of them and the education process, you know, you can't just tell somebody to leave. They have to be able to be ready. In many cases, it might be a situation where their life is in danger, too.
Right.
So it isn't easy for someone. Right. And that's why we say you need to walk in their shoes. Until you walk in their shoes, you can't judge somebody. Why they, you know, why did I stay for several years in a horribly, verbally abusive situation? I did because I didn't know. I thought couldn't understand what was wrong. I thought it was me.
Right.
I thought it was me. I'm doing something wrong. Maybe it's me. Maybe I, you know, you question yourself. But then, you know, at some point when you're ready to move, you know, or make a change, when you realize that's the time where that support system can come in place. So the best we can all do is say, and to help somebody is to say, you know, I'm here. If you need help, if you want to talk, I'm here. And there is help out there. And that's the other thing. We want to get the word out there. There's a lot of help and support out there. And when somebody's ready, you know, we'll be there to help them and lift them and get them where they need to be to safety.
Right.
Now, here in New Jersey, do you think every county has its own safe house?
They do. In New Jersey, there is an agency in every county. So many of them, they would have at least a safe house, which is usually a 30-day placement, you know, for immediate care. And then many have a transition house, which will help, you know, women and children get back up on their feet and get usually up to about 24 months or so. Some extend that a little bit longer.
Depending on the
situation. And the funds that we are raising, the proceeds from the Red Shoe events that all of our chapters host, I want that money to go to specifically the women and children in the safe and or transition house. So I want it for client services because I think that's critically important for the things that they need to get back on their feet. I think we can make a dramatic impact doing that, whether it be tires for a car or classes or something. You know, there's so many incidentals that get overlooked, you know, once they're in a transition house and you know, things that, you know, might be preventing or prohibiting them from, you know, being able to get the education they need or the skills or the job or whatever. We don't want that. We want to see them empowered. I want to see these women walk through our doors one day at our meetings. And I think that would be wonderful.
You know, like you mentioned before, excuse me, Tracy, but you had said, you know, wealthy county, and Hunterdon County obviously is one of the four wealthiest in the country.
Yes.
And I know from NAMI's point of view, people will say, mental illness? In that rich county? Homelessness? And at the time, a few months back, I would say, you know where the Walmart is in Hunterdon County? In Flemington? As you know, behind it, there's a railroad track. Did you ever think going over to the railroad track and see those tents? What in the world do you think they are? They're homeless people in tents because they have no place to live.
It's very sad.
It is.
It's terrible.
And most of the county, I'm not saying all, but a lot of the county feel, well, it's so rich that, you know, we don't have those problems. This is not Newark or Patterson or whatever. I'm sorry, you do have these problems, whether it's women being abused or homelessness or mental illness, or, you know, you name it, you have it. It's part of being population of the country.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly right. And the same with domestic violence. I've had so many people say, oh, we don't have that problem. It's, you know, affluent community. And I said, that has nothing to do with it.
It has absolutely nothing to do with it. You know?
It's here. It's in our communities.
Right, right. So,
and you mentioned the importance of support, and I think I'd like to jump ahead to the business networking, which supports not only the domestic violence victims, but also women who have businesses, and so who bring items that you request to each meeting to help at the shelter.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about the business networking that goes on and how women support each other through that.
So we hold monthly networking meetings, all the chapters do, and we welcome all women in business and women in transition. So again, a little bit of a unique organization in the sense that we do not have, we have a membership program which helps support us, and we want everyone to become members, obviously, but you do not have to be a member to participate in the meetings or at events, but there's no participation requirements, there's no attendance requirements, no forced referrals. We do not limit it to one person per profession. That's why I say we welcome all women and women in transition. And quite frankly, business is being had. Women are amazing. We get to it. We, you know, build those relationships. There is business that's is being had between the women. It's been phenomenal. So that's working very well. So what we do is we have a guest speaker every month. We come, we network like other organizations. I always have a guest speaker at each of the meetings. The chapters do. It's for education only. But something, you know, some great tips that we can learn or get for to help us both professionally and personally. So we have lots of interesting speakers just from our pool of women that come and from our members and attendees. And we also do the collection items. Tracy, as you mentioned, in support of our charity partner, we will ask our members or attendees to bring a collection item every month based on the needs of the, again, the safe house and or transition house. And that could be anything from baby clothes and diapers to paper products to feminine hygiene products to all kinds of things, food, canned food, school backpacks, you know, in September for the children that are going back to school. So we've been doing that since day one, and all of our chapters are doing the same thing with the monthly collection items at the meeting. So that's another great thing. I've always said we've only scratched the surface in terms of what we can do to help with our partnership with these with our charity partners. And I think, you know, having a great resource of women, the women of BW Nice are the conduit to really help support and provide those, you know, provide the resources that they need.
I always found it amazing that with various organizations, Safe and Hunterton, Family Promise, and others, that when people, food stamps don't cover toothpaste, toilet paper, feminine hygiene products. These are essential.
Right, exactly.
They'll cover
it's hard to believe.
Potato chips.
Right, amazing, yeah.
And soda, but they don't cover toothbrushes and toothpaste and, you know, personal hygiene products. They don't cover soap. I mean, I'm serious. Yeah. And, you know, it's like when I first found out about that, I was shocked. And the church I belong to, every month they have a different group organization around, you know, that they support, and we bring stuff in and, you know, take it to them, whether it's the food pantry or Family Promise or whatever. And I just couldn't believe it.
It is hard to believe.
Yeah, and because what they'll say is, well, we don't want this or this, but because they can get that on food stamps or they can get that at the pantry. But what they can't bet with food stamps is the personal hygiene products. So we bring toothpastes and toothbrushes and stuff like that.
Right.
It's just like, really? Diapers is not covered.
Right.
You know.
I know, and that's always a necessity with our chapters.
I mean, come on, really?
Yeah.
But you can cover potato chips.
Right.
I don't know. It just boggles my mind. You know.
Diane, I've been to some of your meetings, and I noticed how well attended they are. I think it's really great for women trying to build business when there's 50 or so other women in the room. Is that a general?
It's not a general. Well, I'm hoping it will be. We've had our ups and downs, and you know, some of the chapters are new and struggling. But I would say on average, we're trying to get you know, at least 25 members, 25, 30 attendees at any one given time, which I think is a good base. And we always have women coming in and some going out. And again, you know, some come that are not members. But we're working on that. And we are building that. Of course, Hunterdon does typically get a lot more because it was our first chapter. So they're our largest. I call it our flagship chapter. So they've done a great job. So they do get quite a few more. But I many of our chapters, Lehigh is growing now. They have 30, 40 women attending every month. So they're starting to take off. So we hope to see that with
and
others.
And each woman in the audience who attends gets 30 seconds to talk about their business, right?
Yes, right. We open up with welcome and remarks, opening remarks, and then everyone does a 30-second their elevator pitch. Then we have our guest speaker who will speak, and then we do wrap up and announcements at the end. We have table sponsorships available, so if somebody wants to showcase their business, product, or services, it's, you know, a great deal. You can do that. It's a nominal cost. You know, there's a member price, non-member price, so we always have table sponsors. And yeah, and some great guest speakers. We have some great information.
That's my next question. Mm. Who would you typically get as a guest speaker?
A lot of them are members, because part of the membership program that we offer, our value-added benefits, include the fact that you can speak without incurring a fee. So we do have a policy that says if you're not a member, you would incur a speaker fee. But We have a good base of members, so it could be anyone. It could be from real estate to finance to an attorney, you know, speaking about divorce. I mean, we've had, you know, life coaches, health, wellness, a variety of topics, and really good information. So the women of BW Nice are a great resource for so many things, and also a great resource to our to share information to the agencies and to these women and families that are in, you know, say the transition house that might need some support.
I know over the last almost 20 years that I've been involved with NAMI. Been involved because we have four children. My youngest son is schizophrenic. Thank God he's doing very well right now. His own apartment and has a job at BJ's and takes his meds religiously, but that's fine. But it wasn't always that way.
Sure.
But over the course of my working with NAMI, and I can't put a number on how many women I've come in contact with who have been abused, either physically or mentally or, financially or whatever. And I found that a lot of times, not all, but a lot of times, the abuser has mental health issues.
Sure.
Whether it's, it doesn't have to be, it can be, anxiety or whatever, but they have.
Or they've been abused.
Or they've been abused, and it's part of a cycle, exactly.
Yes, and that's typically right. What it is as well. And the agencies are also reaching out to do counseling for them as well,
right.
Which I think is a good thing. I mean, you have to. It's important. So
it's got to stop sooner or later.
Right, and you have to break the cycle.
Yeah, exactly.
How will these statistics change if you don't start breaking that
right.
cycle? And that's also getting to children. This is another issue. A very frightening issue, and again, have learned this through the agencies and their education to us at our meetings, what's happening in middle school and high school and unhealthy relationships and mm-hmm. the dating scene, how much, teen violence there
right.
is. Very, right. very, very frightening. So if it's starting at that young age, obviously as it works its way up, you're going to be stuck with this statistic out of 1 out of 4. It's not going to, so you've got to educate and support our youth as well. You've got to deal with the abuser who is in a cycle also, who was most likely abused
right.
to make an impact to stop, what's going on.
And you can see how it hurts the children.
Oh, and the children, of course.
And, we know someone who is going through a situation. Maybe they're divorced, but there's still, issues and so on and so forth. And you can see the children. They're out of state, but, it's just sad.
It is sad.
It is so sad. It's one thing to say, that the wife is going through this situation and may be able to handle it better than, the 10-year-old kid, maybe not. But, but to see a 10-year-old kid and a 7-year-old kid go through this and see already how they have formed this personality
right,
that
right.
all you keep thinking is down the road what's going to happen what's going to happen when they start dating
exactly
are they going to start smacking around their girlfriend sort of thing and it's so sad because it's like a cycle that doesn't get broken.
And that's exactly it, and that is the problem, and that's why we see the statistics where they're at, and until you can, break that cycle. It was interesting. I'll just tell you a quick tidbit of a story of, not naming any names, but just of a woman who is in our group who is providing services. Her company is providing services to, I think it was Safe in Hunterdon or one of the agencies, and she just mentioned this at one of the meetings, and it just struck me, but her son is being mentored to take over the business and was with one of her workers, and they were there at the agency and I guess had to come through by the transition house, and a little boy was there and came up to him and gave him a hug. And her son didn't understand what it was mm-hmm. all about and had no idea. And when he got home, and he's, I believe, in his 20s, said to his mother, "I didn't know, Mom. Why, what's going on here? What is happening?" And he goes, "I had no idea. I didn't understand any of this." And how this little boy just hugged him and clung to him. And it just, breaks your heart.
Sure.
You just know.
Absolutely.
These poor children are, what right. they're going through and the family. So that's why, we're so thankful that we have these agencies now that can provide multiple levels of service. And, I want to do nothing more than to really get the word out because it's the education process. We've got to continue to get the word out. And they themselves have said that, we can't do enough to get the word out and educate
right.
the public. And maybe then we can make a difference. But we've got a ways to go. So that validates my existence every single day.
Well, that's, when do you hear about mental illness?
And
somebody
thing.
shoots in a theater and kills
right.
people and so on and so forth.
Well, I can relate to that because I lost my brother, who I adored, to suicide. So
right,
So I've been impacted in a lot of different ways.
No, exactly, and it's terrible.
It is terrible, and that's a whole other area.
Oh yeah, it is.
I mean,
but I'm just saying that it's you know, it seems like your organization and NAMI has got the same goals.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
They may be doing it in a different
right.
System or right. procedure, but the end results are what count, and that's they're similar.
Yes.
You know, and very
yes.
similar.
Yes.
Both so needed.
And both so needed.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm passionate about that end of it too, just because of what I went through with, you know, and obviously in my family,
right.
how devastating
right.
it was. So I think the more we educate and get people aware that, you know, mm-hmm. on all these levels and all these issues, I think it's very important. You can't live with blinders on. We live here today.
No, you can't. As much as you may not
want to know, right.
deal
and
with
it's
it.
Uncomfortable.
And it's,
I think
you know,
it's
very uncomfortable, but it's, unfortunately, it's the way the world is,
right.
you know, and if you're going to make it any better,
yes.
you have to be aware of these things.
And everybody can. Every
yeah,
person
exactly.
can do one little thing to make a difference.
Right. Exactly.
So let's talk about one big thing that BW Nice does and has raised a lot of money so far in the fight, and it's called the Red Shoe Luncheon and Fundraiser.
Yes. Yes,
a
yes,
fashion
yes.
show.
Yes.
Tell us about that and how much money you raise. Or I know the first year, did you raise $10,000?
Yes, we did for Safe and Hunterdon. So, yeah, it's picking up. We're gaining traction. I mean, considering we are truly a grassroots organization. So the Red Shoe is our charity fundraising event. Each chapter, once they're established, will hold the Red Shoe Luncheon and Fashion Show. It is a great day. It's a celebration of women, a celebration of everybody, a great networking day, luncheon, fashion show. We have tricky tray, silent auction, whatever they want. We have merchant vendors, so we have a nice like shopping area. We honor a businesswoman of the year in each of our communities, and we always have our agency there. We always have there our guests, the charity partner. And then we always will have an impact speaker, and that's really the critical part of the show where you know, we go through the agency to see if there is someone, a woman who is able to get up and share her story, share her voice, to tell, you know, what she went through, her journey, and how that agency has helped her. Because that's what's really going to strike a chord with the audience, and it really does. And some of the stories have been unbelievable, so phenomenal. But I can tell you that it is making a difference and it is striking a chord. For instance, last year the Somerset County chapter launched their first Red Shoe, supporting Safe and Sound of Somerset. The impact speaker was amazing. She's actually a woman who is a member of BW Nice. And the executive director from Safe and Sound came up to me immediately after the show and said, "Diane, this event is phenomenal." She said, "This is absolutely the right forum for an impact speaker." She said, "I was gauging the audience and watching, and I could see on the, you know, faces of everyone." And it ended up that several women actually got up and went and talked to them mm-hmm. after the show. So truly making a difference. So it's really very impactful. So it is a phenomenal day. The proceeds from the event do go to our charity partner. Safe and Hunterdon is holding their sixth annual event on Friday, June 2nd this year. We're very excited. And to date with trying to think all the numbers, you know, we've probably raised 70 some odd thousand dollars or more for Safe alone, Safe and Hunterdon. And then, you know, with the other chapters, Lehigh Valley's going on their third year. We're probably pushing close to $100,000, and that will continue to grow because this year we have 8 events. That are scheduled with the various chapters. So the faster
chapters in Jersey or
yes, Pennsylvania and New
okay.
Jersey. So as I continue to build chapters and as they get established, they'll start their Red Shoe event. We'll have Red Shoe events going on everywhere, and that's what we want. So that will be our annual gala that we will hold. Each chapter will hold on behalf of their charity partner.
Safe and Hunterdon's going to come on our radio show again, too.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
In a few
oh,
weeks,
yeah.
correct?
Oh. In a couple of weeks, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We've had him on before.
Right.
I've had him on before. And, you know, we don't mention names or anything
sure.
like that, obviously. But, you know, and just tell what they do and
exactly.
how they do it.
They
and
provide
who they do it
phenomenal
for,
services. And, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's critical. And that's the other thing, having the agencies or having a representative at each of our meetings, they come to our meetings to be able to get up and speak about the services they provide. Most people do not understand the scope of services and resources that these agencies have and provide
right.
to the community. They only think of, they're a safe house, that's it. Oh, it goes far beyond that in terms of legal advocacy, therapy, counseling, a multitude of things. So that's also very important in educating the community and our attendees.
Do you do anything with Good News Home for Women?
We haven't, but we are open. For instance, we haven't done anything directly with them, but we are open to that. And any way that we can kind of spread our wings, if we can, we will do that. For instance, last year and the year before, at the end of the year, we gave a Family Promise of Hunterdon County. We had some money left, we wanted to share. And, every dollar helps. That's what I say. A dollar we give you today, is a dollar more than you had yesterday. So, it goes to give you. So we were able to give them some money the last 2 years, which we're excited because it all works together.
I saw Colleen Doerr yesterday.
Yes, Colleen is lovely. And she's
coming on the radio again, too.
She is a member of BW Nice. Thank you, Colleen. Yeah. I love you. And she comes to our meetings. And that's what's so wonderful about it, because we all work together. It's all
right.
about collaboration. It's all about helping, supporting each other. It's about empowering. That's what we are all about.
Do you find that women who are abused retreat to alcohol or drugs? Or
I would say, I can't say for sure. I would say in some instances, yes, it's. I would imagine that they do. The women that I, have known and stories I've heard, I don't know of the specifics, in regards to that, but I would say
a percentage would.
Absolutely.
It'd be their
right.
way of
coping mechanism.
It's an escape, right. It's a coping mechanism. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I know of some women right now who are still very fragile, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
Very fragile. And understanding where that, and it's sad.
It is.
It's very sad, especially when you see it from your mother. That cycle, mother and father, and then through your own life. I think the residual or effect is, that's a whole says a lot too, and that part of it is challenging as well.
So, Diane, your goal really is to get this to be a national organization.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And since this is a podcast that goes across the country, if anybody wanted to start an organization in their area, how would they get in touch with you?
They can contact me through our website, which is www.bwnice.org. And it stands for Larry Business Women.
I was going to ask you that before the end.
Just saying.
Finally get there. Okay.
They can send an email to info@bwnice.org. And if they want to call me personally, feel free to do so. I'll throw my number out there. 908-894-8219. So between the website or our email or my cell number, they're welcome to call me. Would love to have a conversation.
Now, I know you said this before, but at a monthly meeting, what is a typical meeting? How does it start to finish?
So the president of the chapter will do welcome, welcome and housekeeping issues and welcome
the
everybody.
Mundane stuff. That,
right. Yeah, we go through that. We have to. And, right now, then I'll take you through the meeting, but then we do talk about the Red Shoe, because 6 months out of the year, we're in a planning process for the Red Shoe. That's what makes us different. But anyway, the typical meeting would be welcome. Any new members, any, announcements that have to be made on the front end. Then we'll get into our 30-second pitch elevator pitches so everybody can introduce themselves and their business and, you know, what a good referral for them is. And then we get into our guest speaker, which, as I said, is always great. We've got such a diverse group of women, so we have lots of great different topics. And we'll have a guest speaker speak for about 15, 20 minutes or so. That's usually 15-minute presentation and a 5-minute Q&A, somewhere in that range. And then we wrap it up with thank you, shout outs, testimonials, or if somebody has an event coming on up they want to share. But then we talk about, for right now, everybody's in the planning stage for the Red Shoe. After around the first of the year that starts, it's the summer we lay low because we don't have events. We have events now in the springtime and fall. But we're in the planning process, so we'll be recruiting and talking about, you know, anybody that can help and volunteer for a Red Shoe and, you know, what the progress is on that. So that's kind of exciting as well. And that's typically
And the women are models. You train the models.
Well, we have women from BW Nice or from wherever that are part of the fashion show and want to be models. So we try to engage our members and even attendees. So anybody that comes to BW Nice, we want them to be a part of the Red Shoe. And if anybody can just volunteer or do one thing, I mean, you know, it's tremendously helpful to help us put the show on. I mean, we do have a chair for the committee, and we do have, you know, the committees, Red Shoe committees, but it's always good to have everybody, you know, kind of, I say, roll up our sleeves and, you know, we work together. As I say, in my quote, it's, you know, when you bring a group of women together, it's amazing what we can do, and it's true. So look what we're doing.
Yeah. And everyone has so much fun.
Yes, and it is
luncheon and fashion.
Yes, and that's open.
It's really a celebration.
It really is. It is a celebration, absolutely, Tracy. And it's for men and women. We get lots of men coming to it. It's great. You know, if you're a businessman, woman, and purchase a table for your clients or your staff, what a great day out. And it's, you know, 10 to 2. So you can go back to work if you want. It's not like it takes up your entire day. Or maybe you want to take the rest of the day off.
Because it's a Friday afternoon.
So, I mean, it is a great day. It's a great celebration. A lot of fun.
Do you think that domestic violence is a hidden epidemic?
I do. Oh, I think it still is, because I think, and again, that goes back to the education process.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. I think people, women, whoever, are shamed, and they're afraid. And I know for my own personal situation, you feel alone. I did. I feel isolated. I didn't share it with my family, and I was very close to my family, extremely close. I didn't share it with anybody. I internalized it, which is not good.
Tell me about it.
I think, and again, I am not the professional here, but I think, and based on my experience with talking to people, that for a certain amount of time, I think it's still hidden. Oh, I think it's definitely still hidden.
Yeah, because, and it doesn't even have to be abuse for women. I know the first 6 years my son was ill, and he had spent the first 3 years in the hospital, hospitalized for 3 years at a time, continuously. I wouldn't talk about it. I would do anything in the world short of murder to help him.
Right.
But I wouldn't talk about it. People say, how's the family? Oh, Paul's doing this, Scott's doing that, Sherry's doing that. I got four kids, you know, and I would never, and it was almost 6 years before I would talk about it.
It is a stigma.
It is.
Tracy,
yeah.
And I think it still is. I don't think stigmas have, there's a stigma definitely with mental illness. I believe there's definitely the stigma with domestic violence.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took me a long time to finally come forward, and now I speak about it openly.
Yeah, well, I do too, obviously, but, you know,
it took me six years.
Right,
and it took a while, and it's like I really don't care anymore. It doesn't define me. I'm here for a purpose and a reason, and I feel that my, again, sharing is empowering, and I want to be able to share and empower other women, just as other women have done so for me and for others out there, for whoever, whether it's a man, woman, whoever is going through a situation. So I am finding that the more I do share, the more, the stronger I feel, the more empowered I feel. And I am, you know, I'm walking the walk. This is what I'm doing for a living, essentially. This is my passion. This is my heart. This is, you know, 24/7 me. So why not?
Do you find that? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Trey.
And you're starting, corporations are starting to get interested in maybe sponsoring a little bit.
Yes, we're hoping, and I'm, working on a campaign to get out there to get corporate sponsorships to help support what we're doing, our efforts. We run on thin margins, so, we need all the help we can get as well. And yes, they are embracing what we're doing, and I think as we continue to build chapters, they'll recognize that, wow, this, we are impactful in the community, and this is something that's really good. And the agencies have been tremendously supportive, and I thank them so much, for endorsing or a testimonial, whatever. That's really important as well.
Do you find that some of the families of these women who are abused don't understand?
I think so,
and,
don't, yeah.
You know, and they don't agree, and it's your fault, and,
I would say that, and in general, whether it's a family member or a friend or anybody, it's easy to just say, especially if somebody's been in a situation like that for a long time, and it takes them a long time to finally get out, and maybe the family member, somebody was saying, you need to leave, which is really the worst thing you can do. The agencies will train you and tell you that is the worst thing you can say. Okay, so they're trying to be helpful. But they will tell them, why didn't you leave the situation? Mm. Or how come you stayed? It couldn't have been that bad if you stayed for so long. And it's like, so there are a lot of, again, misconceptions, misunderstandings, education.
Right.
Education, education, education. We all need to be educated on this from all different perspectives, whether it's the family, friends, coworkers. I mean, I had my coworkers and my male coworkers at the time of my job were the ones that were going crazy and wanted me, they wanted to put me, and I couldn't do it myself, but they wanted me in a hotel. I was living under the same roof, not in the same room, for a while. And I don't know why I did that, but I did. And I was scared. They were going crazy. They wanted to get me out into a hotel. They were more worried about the situation. An interesting scenario. I don't know.
Doesn't it often become the most dangerous when the woman goes to leave?
Yes. Yes. And that's the other thing. And that's something that, again, the agencies will point out to us. So they're sharing that could be the most difficult time or the most dangerous time, Tracy, as you said. So you can't always. It's not how it works. So
in the last couple minutes, you want to give the phone number again and email address and all that good happy stuff.
Yes, thank you. So if you'd like more information on BW Nice, you can go to our website at www.bwnice.org. Feel free to send us an email at info@bwnice.org. And again, if you would like to reach me directly, my number is 908-894-8219.
Great. Larry, do we have another minute or two?
Yeah, you got another minute or two. Go ahead.
Diane, remember the quick story about the red shoe.
Yes, the red shoe.
How did that come about?
So the red shoe, which is the name of our event, charity event, is really a symbol. It comes from our logo because we have a red shoe logo, but it really symbolizes empowerment and strength, but also it's a journey. It's a walk in somebody's shoes, a victim's shoes. So we want to honor all of those victims. I want to honor anyone who has been impacted by domestic violence or sexual assault by our red shoes. So we wear our red shoes to stand in solidarity for them, in support, in love, and hope that we can help others on their journey as well, get back on their feet.
Well, it's a wonderful organization. Thank you so much for coming, Diane.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been nice. Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should...
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning 100in on 100inchamberradio.com. Like what you hear on 100in Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100in Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inchamberradio.com app today.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
100in Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The 100in County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present 100inchamberradio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of 100in County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, 100in Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers